And I'm on. There you go. I've already been trusted by Mark. I've done one sermon a few weeks ago, so he's almost let me loose. So I don't know how good that is for you guys. I didn't leave him in service, so he said, that was alright, so crack on without me. So he's given me this passage that we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks, going through John. And we're at this point where we've just heard a few weeks ago that Jesus was with this woman who was a Samaritan at a well. And obviously we found out then this woman was not to be mixing with this man, with their backgrounds totally different. It was just not the done thing in the day. But we hear something very interesting before the conversation begins. The disciples disappeared to fetch food. So there's obviously a point there where Jesus hasn't eaten, or they've not eaten for a very long time, because they're always on the go, travelling here and there. They've gone, let's go get some food. So Jesus takes the opportunity to read into this lady's life and tell her all the things that she's ever done. And then we hear this. Just then, his disciples returned. Well, let's take this off the screen, shall we? There we go. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. Well, not just the woman they were surprised, it was the fact that she was a Samaritan and he was a Jew and all that sort of stuff, and it's all a bit interesting. But no one asked, what do you want and why are you talking with her? So they didn't feel it was a subject they could broach with him, say, this isn't right, you're not meant to do that. They just assumed Jesus was doing his own thing like he normally does and would just stay quiet. And I think they were astonished to find Jesus was talking to him, the lady. They had no idea what Jesus had spoke about. So the conversation is now finished. The disciples returned. The lady walked off. It says, then the lady, leaving her water jar, she went back to the town and said to the people, so this is, bear in mind, this lady's just been told that she's got five husbands and her current husband is not who she's sleeping with. So I would imagine she's known in the town for not being a great moral person, at a guess. And she's just gone to this village and gone, you know, I'm a bit of a wild child, but this guy's told me everything that I've ever done. Probably some of the stuff that you don't even know I've done. And she says, could this be the Messiah? Could this be Jesus? Could this be God? So they all came out of the town and thought, let's go and find out what this guy's got to say about ourselves. So the woman went back to the village, told everyone about what she's heard, what she's known, what this guy's told her. It comes to the question of, do we tell others what God has done for us and how God knows us? So she's obviously found out that this guy knows everything. And she's gone, I need to tell people about this. I'm going to show this guy off because he knows me. He knows the inner depths. And it just made me think, do we show Jesus off in our lives? Do we tell others what Jesus has done for us? Just like the lady did. She went and told loads of people, this guy has told me how bad I am, but he's told me that he loves me. And I think this is totally true. So, first question is, do we show Jesus off to the people that we know? So meanwhile, as the passage says, his disciples urged him when they got back, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food that you know nothing about. And what is that food? Because they're like going, all right, so has he got something in his back pocket? Has he got a Mars bar? Has someone snuck him some fish and chips? But his food comes from God. His food is the hunger to spread the word and tell people and make a difference. It's quite interesting because the disciples said to each other, they never said out loud. Jesus is quite good at this in the Bible. He knows when people are thinking things without them saying it. So his disciples said to each other, could someone have bought him food? But it's not like, could someone have gone, I heard that. It's like, could Jesus have bought him food? And Jesus hears it. And obviously knows what they're thinking. And he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. So, I'm going to think about this in another click. What is food? So, what does food give us? If we're talking literally, like the disciples are thinking literally, Jesus has got some food, where's he got it from? Food. Lots of lovely arrows. Food is a source of energy for us. source of energy for Jesus, if he's in a physical sense. And then we've got, oh, the G's gone down a line. Oh, that didn't work right, did it? Nourishing. Or if you're from the north, that's nourishing. All right? So I've kind of got the Suffolk side and the northern side for you. So food is nourishing. Food keeps us alive. It keeps us going. It keeps us healthy. And it helps us to grow. So, what does this do for Jesus? Because he said, my food comes from God. Well, God is his source of energy. God keeps him going. He's got a role to do on the earth, so that is his goal. It nourishes him. It keeps him wanting to do more. It keeps him alive at the moment, but we know his work does not keep him alive. But at this time, God's work is keeping him alive, and that's what he's living for. It helps him grow, and it keeps him healthy. Kind of like our lives, what do we want it to look like if Jesus is working through us? We want it to be showing us as we're a source of energy. Yes, we have our down days, but actually, we've got God who saved us. Doing the work of God gives him energy, it nourishes him, and he's living to carry out the work of the one who sent him. So we come on to the next bit where it says, do you have a saying where it is 4 months till harvest? Now, I'm not from round here, because this is like a farming county as such. You know, I'm from the north where we have factories. So when I'm trying to talk about harvest, we'll see what we get to. So the meaning of harvest is, the harvest is a time when you reap and sow. Normally that happens at a certain time of year. Maybe late August to October, and then we have our harvest service. I'm guessing that's the kind of time frame for a harvest. But what does it mean when we harvest something? First, we've got to start right at the beginning. To harvest something, you've got to have a start. Now, as far as I know, this is my background of gardening from my front garden. From what I understand, have I got a point? Oh, yeah, look at that. I've got to prepare the ground. As far as I know, I need to turn the soil over, I need to get all the bottom stuff nice and loose, so when the roots go down, the plant's got something to push through. Plant the seed. Ideal part of things is, you're never going to harvest anything if you don't plant a seed. Or in my case, if you plant a seed and it doesn't grow, well, who knows what's gone wrong there. Let the sun do its work. So obviously we've done all the digging, we've put the seed in, we've watered it, we've let the sun do its work and the water do its work. But we must water regularly. And that's why we do our work in the sunshine. Because there's no point in trying to grow over winter because it can't grow without the sun doing what it needs to do. Wait for it to grow and then pick the crop when it is ripe. If you leave the crop too late, does it taste nice? Tastes a bit horrible. If you pick it too early, does it taste nice? It's not always great, it's not always ready. But if we try and turn this around and kind of look at the next one, which should be, how do we plant the seed of Jesus in others? So obviously he's talking about harvest as a person thing where we go and harvest people. So we plant the seed, we start talking to people we know. No point in them trying to find Jesus if we don't talk about Jesus. We don't show him off. We invite them to events. So we can talk to them, find out about their lives, share Jesus. Oh, they've got an Alpha course coming up, so come along, let's see what's going on. They hear about Jesus' love. This is the point where the Son, Jesus, is doing his work. He's trying to work through their lives, trying to get them questions out and people answering questions for them. Pray regularly. A bit like watering your plant regularly. Your plant is not going to survive without regular water. We can share our faith, but until we pray regularly, that's when God does his work. Let God do his work, and then they have a decision to make. Whether that is to follow Jesus or to not. But they need to make a decision. Now we've got a story, because 2 years ago, we thought, yeah, we've got our front garden, so we're going to make little veg beds. So me and Ruth painstakingly read all the books. Right, we get the soil right. You've got to dig down 2 centimetres, and you can't put them too close together, these seeds. Do everything the book says, and we had a rubbish crop that year. absolutely horrendous. We did it all the right time, end of April. Oh, we can't put them ones out yet because it's not the start of May. So we thought, we've got this, we can do it. We got nothing. Kind of end of August, Zeb's out playing in the garden. He grabs all the seeds out of the bucket, just chucks them in his little digging bed that he never touches other than puts diggers in. So he just chucks loads of carrot, kale, all sorts in there. 3 months later, he's got carrots. And I'm going, but he's not done anything. He's not prepped it. He's not even watered it. But he's got this lovely veg bed growing. And we're like, but how can we do it this way and do it all right and his not do anything right, but God, it still works. And that's like God, if we try our best to go, right, we're going to follow the pattern. We read all the books. How do we spread the word of God to our friends? Yes, we've got to do this, got to do that. Sometimes you've just got to chuck something in the mix and see what happens. And that's what Zeb did, and he got a massive bed of crop, and we went, right, let's read the books. And sometimes it's easier just to go all in and go, right, I'm just going to put that there and see what happens. And sometimes it's like God in our lives. Sometimes we have to have a conversation that we don't really want to have, because we've not read that bit of the book yet, or we're not at that bit of our friendship to tell Jesus. You never know. Go all in and let God do his work. Jesus is saying there's a certain time to pick and harvest. But he's saying harvest time's now. People are currently searching in this life of who knows what's going on, to cling to something. There's a lot of questions out there that people don't have answers for. But they're trying to find a purpose for their lives. We've been doing Youth Alpha with some of the crew guys on a Thursday night. And some of the questions that are asked during the evening are all based on what is life? What is the best thing you've done? What is the worst thing you've done? If God was here now, what would you ask him? And they're coming out with all these questions. So that even the young people, as well as the old, have got questions that need answering. We've got an answer that's Jesus. If we don't tell them what we know, they're going to struggle to find what they need to know. So now we'll move on. So I tell you, it's the Bible again. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. So if we sow it, someone might reap it. They're going to thank you for changing their lives. Thus the saying, one sows and the other reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Hopes that the disciples, I've brought you into my work, and now you're reaping what you've not earned. So you're seeing all these people come to faith. You've not earned that. You've not done anything to do with that. You've followed me and you've done what I need you to do. But actually someone's working in the background. There's things that are going on the disciples don't know nothing about yet. And even when they're asked what's going on, they still don't know the answers. But God's at work. God's doing stuff. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of the labour. People grow up. I don't know if you did when you were younger, and you'd hear nuggets of things. I know when I was in a youth group, I'd listen up to that one conversation about what they're teaching me about Noah's Ark or something, and it lives with you. And then someone says something later in life about another thing in the Bible, it lives with you. I've always been on the, I've done youth work for quite a bit, and there was quite, youth work is quite competitive amongst local churches. And you think, oh, that guy's going to that youth group now, and he was with me. And you think, oh, if only I could get some of their youth group to come to my youth group. But actually, it doesn't matter. The fact is they're hearing about the gospel. It doesn't matter where they're getting that, but God will work for it. It's God will work through whatever situation we put people in. It just won't happen if we don't put the groundwork in. The friendships, the conversations, the invites and the caring. If we don't do that sort of stuff and we just go to the random stranger, Jesus loves you, I'm not sure how well that's going to go down. You might be told you're a little bit weird, or they might just look at you in a funny way. But if we put the hard yards in, stuff will happen because God will be at work. And we may have been in this game for quite a while, knowing that Jesus loves us, his goodness and his forgiveness. It's there. He's done it for me. He did it all on the cross. We may feel we know it all and that, you know, God's done this for me, but have we ever took action? I know in the olden days you used to go to church because your mum went to church and your nan went to church and that was the done thing. That's all changed nowadays because generations have changed. It's not the done thing that because my mum went to church, I must go to church. The kids now make decisions themselves. I've got a story about a guy in Derby who's an old guy. He's probably in his late 70s, early 80s. And he was a guy people looked up to in the church, a guy called John. His family were all Christians, they all attended church. He was the head figure of this family. He was my granddad's best friend. And I think, oh, John, he knows Jesus, he's got it sorted. I'm going to follow this guy because he knows what he's on about. Probably 2 months ago, he got baptized. And I'm sat there thinking, but how has John not been baptized before? Because all his family have seen how he lives his life, and how he acts, and how he reads the Bible and God's doing stuff through him. But how is it he's waited till his late 70s to jump in the water and commit his life to Christ? I'm thinking, I was baptized with your grandchild. So you must have been baptized a long time ago. But actually, he's just had time to think about it. And he's realized he probably never made that choice. Yes, he's followed God and followed Jesus, and Jesus working through him, but he's never made that step to go, actually, I've never done the baptism side of stuff, so I need to now make that public. And it just makes you think, some of us have been in church for a very, very long time, have we ever jumped in the water to proclaim it publicly and out loud? And it's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, they had a massive celebration at my church in Derby that I went to. They all went out for a meal together, because they found someone who has accepted Jesus publicly into their lives. We've got a baptistry, and within the last year, we've used it once. So what are we doing in our church life, but also the people we're chatting to try and open that thing up some more and see if we can get more people realizing who God is and want to publicly profess their faith and want to jump in the water? You've all got Alpha cards in front of you, hopefully. I know on Thursday, the kids were skimming them around the room, so they might not be on all the chairs. We've got a few Alpha courses running at the moment, and we're just going to take a little bit of time to pick up a card and kind of reflect on what God's been doing in our lives, how he's affected what we've been doing, how we've come to know him, whether that's 2 weeks ago or 50 years ago. What's Jesus been doing? What's God been doing? If you don't know Jesus, think about how could I know Jesus? Or who could I be inviting? Who could I be chatting to? And God works in many ways. As we know, Jesus knew stuff the disciples were thinking before they knew about it. God works. So we're just going to listen to a video as you look at your cards. It's probably about 5 minutes long, so we've got a bit of thinking time here. But just a way to reflect about these people that came out of the town, all gave their lives to Jesus and Christ, because the lady had told him what Jesus had told her. So how can we show ourselves off? So pick up a card, think of a few people you can be praying for, and how, hold on, that didn't work, how you can be actively spreading God's word and thinking what Jesus has done for you over the years. The song's called Waymaker, and we sang it last week at the Crown Hymn event, and it kind of made sense that when we chat to people and talk to people, God works.